Rookie minicamp is in the books in Green Bay, with the organization getting their first opportunity to see the first-year players in action. We find out where they go from here with Jay Hodgson of AllGBP.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about the recently completed Packers rookie minicamp this weekend, and to do so, we have a guest joining us on the line.
Expert interview.
We have Jay Hodgson of AllGBP.com. Mr. Hodgson, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk to you about a piece you recently authored at allgbp.com examining the Logan's Run approach to roster management by Ted Thompson, general manager Ted Thompson, Green Bay, essentially discussing how the Packers jettison players over 30 years old. And I think that's kind of appropriate with rookie minicamp taking place here and the young crop of players coming in. But Jay, is this what you've seen at the cornerback position with Tremont Williams, for example, being allowed to depart in free agency and then drafting Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins in the first two rounds?
Yeah, I think that's definitely Ted Thompson's plan. Now, I'm not saying Ted Thompson will automatically get rid of a player when they hit 30 years old, mm-hmm. but they really have to be a special player at a premier position like quarterback or edge rusher, or a really outstanding all-pro cornerback like Charles Woodson was. But Tremont Williams got up there in age, and I think Ted Thompson wanted to bring him back, but had to bring him back at the right price.
Yep.
And they couldn't agree on a mutual contract, so Ted Thompson decided, then you should pursue that avenue, and I'm going to try to replace your production with younger and cheaper players via the draft. And in the free agent period, the Packers did lose two starting caliber quality cornerbacks in Tremont Williams and Devon House. And he replaced that production with two players right away in the first and second round of the draft.
Well, what's your take on these guys in the first two rounds here, Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins? Do you think they're going to be able to come in and play right away? I think people are kind of unsure where these guys fit. Is it the perimeter cornerback where they really need the help? Their skill set seems to be more fitting the slot cornerback. Some people even think they're safeties. What's your take on these two guys?
I agree with you, Brian. I think their skill set is more of the slot corner. And Don Paper certainly has his work cut out for him this offseason. A lot of moving parts on defense to replace Tremont Williams and Devon House on the boundary and the perimeter. The first kind of take on the shuffling is that Casey Hayward will move out from the slots to the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most logical candidate because he's been in the system for years. He knows defense. So I don't think Demarius Randall was drafted to be a Tremont Williams replacement in the boundary. I think he was drafted to be a Casey Hayward replacement in the slot mm-hmm. as Hayward moves out into the boundary. And Randall was a safety in college, but his coach said during the pre-draft process that he would have been our best cornerback on the field, but we needed him at safety. So his cover skills are definitely top-notch. So I see him coming in, playing a lot of slot corner and substitution packages. And another thing to consider is Dom Capers likes to have his free safety defense. Sometimes he calls it the big nickel. So having a Randall out there gives him another safety with coverage abilities.
Now, over this weekend here at Packers rookie minicamp, Mike McCarthy said it was, quote, premature, unquote, that the Packers gave away Jarrett Bush's number 24 to Quentin Rollins. Does that fly in the face of this Logan's run hypothesis at all, that the Packers don't seem to be closing the door on Jarrett Bush yet?
That's a tough question. You never know what Ted Thompson has up his sleeve. But McCarthy's always been very political during press conferences. You never want to slam the door on a player, because what if there's an injury?
Yeah.
And then hey, by the way, Jared, we gave a number away, but can you come back and play for us? We've got some injuries. So I think if everything stays to plan, the young players stay healthy, they pan out, I don't think we'll see Jarrett Bush back. Hopefully he's able to catch on somewhere else and prolong his career. But if there are some injuries, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Ted Thompson calls up Jarrett and has him back another year.
I thought it was interesting. Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com over the weekend reported that Jarrett Bush's locker is still there in Green Bay, while Matt Flynn, another free agent at large, is not. And I guess that kind of transitions right here into another discussion. The Packers decide not to re-sign Matt Flynn while they added Brett Hundley in the NFL draft. Do you think this means the Packers will keep three quarterbacks on the roster simply to develop a young, talented player like Hundley based on his potential?
Yeah, I think they do keep three quarterbacks on the final roster, with maybe only two of them active on game day.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the last couple of years, it seems like Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy really wanted a mobile quarterback off the bench. They tried that with Vince Young and Seneca Wallace, and that didn't work out so well. So maybe they feel the best way, barring some sort of major injury to the quarterback position, that a mobile quarterback gives them the best possibility to move the chains and get some production. But another idea that I've been kind of tossing around with and sharing with others is, I think the Packers really want a mobile quarterback on the roster that can run the scout team, that can simulate the Russell Wilsons and the Colin Kaepernicks and the Cam Newtons in practice, because it's really hard to simulate that in practice, give your defense a good look. So drafting Hundley, I think, is a developmental prospect that they can get some trade value for in the future, use him on the scout team, get the defense a good look, and barring some sort of major issue, injury, then he can come off the bench and potentially get some production.
Speaking of quarterbacks here, several reporters have pointed out the Packers will not be signing tryout player Blake Sims of the University of Alabama. Quarterback there, apparently, also played running back while there, and is the Packers and other teams are looking at him at other positions. But now, Jay, you're actually an Alabama alum, and you've watched Blake Sims play quarterback. Should the Packers have taken a shot here on a young guy with potential?
Well, I'm trying to not let my fanboyism cloud my judgment, because I really like Blake Sims. He really overachieved. He laid it all on the line, left it all on the field for Alabama last year. He's just a good hustle player. But his quarterback skill set just isn't pro caliber. He's not very compact in his delivery. He's got a big, slow windup, and that's just not going to cut it in today's NFL. And if he has some issues with accuracy, he tends to float some of his long balls. Early in his career, he did play some running back. He was productive. And I know you were kicking around some ideas with me on Twitter last week that they may have been looking at Blake Sims as a potential two-point conversion specialist if that new rule change goes through. So that may have been what they were doing. But then I also see Brett Hundley having that same skill set, maybe being a little more of a refined passer than Sims.
Yeah. We're talking to Jay Hodgson of AllGBP.com here at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Among the tryout players the Packers signed was Andy Phillips, an interior offensive lineman from Central Michigan. Now, Jay, I don't expect you to know much about Andy Phillips, but does he kind of fit into this Logan run philosophy, that with the Packers parting ways with guys on the interior of the offensive line like Scott Wells and Jeff Saturday and Evan Dietrich Smith in recent years?
Well, maybe this season it's not so much an age issue, it's more so just a depth quality issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because last year, with the injury to Don Barclay, left a very noticeable drop off in depth and depth quality. And I think you can never have enough good guards, enough good players who can play center on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're looking to replace some of the players that didn't live up to expectations last year, like Elaine Taylor, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to give this guy a look in camp, see if he can fill some of the roles as a backup. And also, we don't know how healthy Don Barclay is coming off his ACL reconstruction. Reports are he's looking good and healthy, but until you put him in pads, you just never know. So you got to kind of cover your base and get some depth in there.
Now, Jay, you authored the fullback section in the Cheesehead TV's Pro Football Draft Preview Guide, so I think this leads in perfectly here. When does Aaron Ripkowski, the team's sixth-round draft choice, take over for John Kuhn in Green Bay as the starting fullback?
Well, that's a great question, and this may be a very unpopular opinion, so definitely don't shoot the messengers. But I think it may be possible that it's this year, and I could have the numbers wrong. But if I am correct, when they re-signed John Kuhn this year, it was at a very low contract value for his age in the league, and I think only $25,000 or so was guaranteed this year in the contract. So if my numbers are correct, it would not be much of a penalty for the Packers to release him before the first game of the season if Rutkowski is definitely a better player. So certainly Kuhn is a great leader, locker room presence, good overall guy, hustle player. But if Ted Thompson is committed to his philosophy of signing younger, cheaper players that have a bigger upside than veterans that are kind of on the descent of their career, it is possible if Rutkowski has a good camp. The Packers only carry one true fullback on the roster, and it could be him, and sadly, that may be the end of John Kuhn's career in Green Bay.
Yeah, I believe, if I'm correct here, and I could have things wrong too, but I don't believe John Kuhn even received a signing bonus. I think he received either a roster bonus or a workout bonus, so even that is not guaranteed. Now, it becomes guaranteed at a certain point when he takes part in a workout or hits a certain date with a roster bonus. But yeah, so Packers could have very little penalty at all, depending on how, you know, his contract was structured. But Jay, you also wrote the tight end profiles for the draft guide, so I kind of wanted to take a look at where Kennard Backman fits into the position in Green Bay. So first of all, let's look at the starters. Is Richard Rodgers the starter at tight end in Green Bay, or is Andrew Quarles? How does that play out?
I think going into this year, on paper, Richard Rodgers is the starter. I think they're giving him every opportunity to seize that opportunity and get that role. So it's really his position to lose at this point, I think.
Do you think Richard Rodgers, how does the playing time shake out? I mean, is Richard Rodgers a three down type of player now? And where does, you know, Andrew Quarles, is he simply their blocking tight end? I mean, he's done okay for him. He's never been a Pro Bowl caliber type of player.
Yeah, those are great questions, Brian. And I guess we won't really know until training camp starts and we see what sort of body type Richard Rodgers carries in the training camp. Because he's kind of been one of these players that has been known to change his body type depending on what the coaches need out of him. While he was in college at California, he was a slot receiver. And then when he came to the Packers, he put on some weight to be more of a traditional inline tight end. And so if he comes in a larger, bulkier body, I think he's going to be that inline tight end again this year, his job to start. But if he comes in with a rebuilt body, leaner and quicker, he could be more of the move tight end that would be a three-down potential for the Packers. And you're right about Corliss. He's a decent player. He's a hustle guy. He maybe have reached his ceiling as far as ability. I think he's more natural as an inline tight end, or maybe even the backfield as an H-back. I think he's uncomfortable splitting out as a move tight end or a joker tight end, as they call him. So he may be more of a two-down player, where Richard Rodgers, depending on his body type, could be that three-down tight end the Packers have been looking for since they lost Michael Finley to injury.
All right, so Kenard Backman, the only player the Packers drafted at that position, does he have potential to push for a role on this team as a rookie? Obviously we don't know a lot about him yet. You've yet to see this rookie in pads or anything like that. But I mean, just the way the Packers kind of only have these two experienced options, is there, a role for him potentially?
I think the plan for him is to seize that third tight end spot on the roster. I think that's what they want out of him. And as I mentioned a second ago, the Packers have been really looking for that move tight end ever since Michael Finley was lost to injury. And they tried Richard Rodgers there at times. He seemed a little uncomfortable. He's a little more at home at an inline tight end. And they really wanted to give Brandon Bostic that opportunity because he was a wide receiver in college, so he should have been a little faster athlete, maybe more comfortable running those outside routes, but he didn't work out. So looking at Backman's skill set, he's a smaller tight end. He's only 6'3", so he's not going to be that 6'7" monster on the line of scrimmage. But small accounts, he's a fast player. He's got good hands. He runs decent routes. And he has that all-important basketball background. Apparently in high school, he was a basketball star, but he stopped growing at 6'3", so he switched to football. So I think they're really looking for Backman to be that move tight end that could get some production down the field, split out a little wide off the line of scrimmage. And I wish him well. The Packers do need that production they've not had since Finley left.
The thing that always gets me is, can a tight end who's 6'3" find success as a joker move type tight end? You look at JerMichael Finley, I believe he was 6'5". You look at some of the best tight ends in the league, the Tony Gonzalez's and Antonio Gates and Jimmy Graham's. These guys are all 6'5", if not more than that. Most of them more than that. Can Kenard Backman be successful at 6'3" as a move tight end?
I hope so, and I think he has that raw skill set, and apparently Ted Thompson seems to think so. Certainly, height does matter, but I think the bigger issue is the catch radius. And
yeah,
from all accounts, he has a pretty good catch radius. So I think maybe that's maybe the more important measurement than his raw height.
Yeah. How many tight ends the Packers keep on the roster this year, do you think?
I'd say maximum four. I guess it all depends on the fullbacks, if they carry two fullbacks or one fullback. They carry, or if they carry three quarterbacks, I think that all has trickle-down effects. So I'd say probably four tight ends at the most, and I think they're expecting Backman to be number three.
Yeah, I can buy into that. Jay, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Some good Monday morning Packers chat here, a good way to start off the work week. But thanks for your insight. I think it was really cool, the article you wrote about the Logan's Run approach to roster management, and we're sending our viewers to go read that there. So thanks a lot, and let's do this again.
All right, thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Jay Hodgson of allgbp.com and the Cheesehead TV Pro Football Draft Preview Guide, joining us here on a Monday morning talking some Packers football. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. And now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
Over the weekend at Packers rookie minicamp, now completed, took place Friday and Saturday. we learn that first-round draft choice Demaryius Randall has a, quote, minor, unquote, injury, according to Green Bay Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. I think, you know, the reporters that were there at practice noticed right away that here Randall is, he was actually suited up. I mean, he had a helmet, he had the jersey on, but he really wasn't doing too much. And, you know, all of a sudden, your eyebrow kind of raises a little bit when you find out that the first round draft choice is a little bit of damaged goods. And I'm hesitant to use that term because, I mean, if Mike McCarthy indeed, you know, is right here in that is a minor injury here in early May, it is, you know, there's a long time to, you know, heal a minorly sprained ankle between now and the start of the regular season. And, you know, he could even take part in organized team activities here later this month, depending on the severity. But apparently, and I believe, I'm not sure who pointed this out, maybe it was Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, apparently suffered during a pre-draft workout by Demaryius Randall. But just kind of notable that, you know, the one person that I think people are most interested in seeing of the entire rookie class of eight draft choices, 17 undrafted free agents, and 25 or so tryout players the Packers bring in, the one guy people most want to see is nursing a little bit of an injury here. So just taking note of that, that Demaryius Randall, the defensive back from Arizona State. And I'm going to continue to call Demaryius Randall a defensive back until proven otherwise. I'm hesitant to call him either a cornerback or a safety, so I'll just go the safe route and call him a defensive back. But yeah, nursing a little bit of an injury here as the Packers wrap up their rookie mini camp. And the one bit of news from, okay, so the Packers had 88 roster spots filled once they signed their undrafted free agents, leaving open the possibility that, you know, 25 or so tryout players come in. They got room for two of them to sign, you know, potentially. And Andy Phillips, an interior offensive lineman, mentioned this earlier before. He himself kind of broke the news, took to Twitter that he signed a contract with the Green Bay Packers. You kind of thought that, well, they got two roster spots. Maybe they're going to sign two tryout players, seeing as they've got the space and, you know, doesn't hurt them to fill all 90 spots. But as of yet, so far, Andy Phillips is the only tryout player we know of that has signed with the Green Bay Packers. This not even confirmed by the organization or the NFL so far. Just we're taking the player's word from it for it. So we'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Packers could still sign somebody here. Maybe after rookie minicamp is over, they went back and looked at the film from practice, you know, that Mike McCarthy stressed so much that, you know, this was evaluation more than anything, and they wanted to get these guys on tape, and they want, you know, the personnel department wants to take a look at it and see what kind of athletes these guys are. And so they have the you know, the time to do that now. You know, these guys taking out on a tryout basis, you know, people aren't exactly banging down their door to sign them. They've got time if need be. They might go from a tryout with the Packers to a tryout with another team. But, you know, again, it's probably just a tryout. And, you know, if they haven't been signed by now, odds are that nobody's going to offer them a contract, you know, in the next, 20 minutes or so, that it really the Packers would have to sign them post haste or anything like that. But so Andy Phillips becomes the 89th player on the Packers roster, leaving open one roster spot. And you have to wonder what, you know, the Packers are under no obligation to fill all 90 spots. They don't have to. There's no rule that states that in the NFL. They could keep 89. If they feel comfortable with the 89 players they've got, they could do that from now until training camp or whatever. Not that that's likely to happen. I mean, you know, guys just get injured or something happens, and you know, they cut players along the way. But all I'm saying is here is there's no obligation, but it makes you wonder, are the Packers leaving open? I think they're leaving some flexibility open here to, you know, perhaps sign a guy like Jarrett Bush. There was a lot of talk about him over the weekend when the Packers gave away his old number 24 to Quentin Rollins, the team's second round draft choice. And Mike McCarthy was asked about it in his press conference, said it was, you know, used the word premature, perhaps. To do that, and like Jay Hodgson said, I think the Packers are leaving open the possibility for sure of signing Jarrett Bush, just from the standpoint that, you know, all of a sudden if you have some injuries along the way or things like that, you could re-sign him. He's a veteran. You know, he ne doesn't necessarily have to take part in the team's off-season workout program. And you know, the book on Jarrett Bush is that he's like one of the guys who trains the hardest of anybody in the Packers locker room. If there's one guy who really, you know, you don't have to worry about coming in out of shape or anything like that, it's Jarrett Bush. He's probably working out on his own right now just as hard as he would be if he was in Green Bay. So they can, you know, if they wanted to, sign him a month down the road, and you know, he'll probably not miss a beat as far as, you know, his knowledge of the Packers defense or, you know, special teams or whatever, kind of where his bigger impact is on special teams. But so I think they're leaving open that roster flexibility, and that kind of also leads us into the next segment on the show here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, you know, in the next 24 hours or so, today's Monday, May 11th, tomorrow's Tuesday, May 12th. And for the first time, the NFL has made, you know, May 12th the deadline to sign free agents in terms of it counting against the league's compensatory draft pick formula. It used to be you always heard about a June 1 deadline, and it's changed this year for the first time, reportedly, to May 12th. So it's interesting in that, you know, we're getting into some real, you know, deep, you know, collective bargaining agreement stuff here. But you know, no, after May 12th, no longer do free agents sign count against the compensatory draft pick formula. You know, it would be if Jarrett Bush signed with another team today, or Matt Flynn. It's possible, depending on the size of the contract they sign, that the Packers could get a compensatory draft pick. But at this point, that's very highly unlikely to happen, because any team out there in the NFL kind of knows that all they got to do is wait one more day, wait till May 12th, and it's not going to count against this comp pick formula here anymore. And perhaps that's what the Packers are doing here, leaving open a roster spot in that they could actually sign somebody now. And not have to, you know, the Packers are going to gain draft picks from losing Tremont Williams and Devon House. And, you know, if they were to sign somebody, that could cancel out one of the draft picks if they were to do it today. Now, they wait till tomorrow, they could potentially sign, and I think kind of two guys' names out there that maybe make the most sense are a pair of inside linebackers. If you think the Packers are still thin at inside linebacker, if you're unsure about Jake Ryan as the team's fourth round draft pick, if you kind of think Clay Matthews is better on the outside than he is on the inside, if you're unsure about guys like Carl Bradford and Joe Thomas and these unexperienced options like Nate Palmer, on the Packers roster, then maybe you could see the Packers going this route, signing a guy like Brandon Spikes or Rolando McClain, guys whose contracts have expired, but maybe the Packers just simply waiting until after this May 12th deadline on Tuesday to go after one of these guys and not cancel out a draft pick. Might that be the direction the Packers are heading? I'm spitballing here, probably. I don't think Ted Thompson it would go in that direction. I won't rule it out entirely by any means, just simply because of the uncertainty at the inside linebacker position for one, but kind of, you know, he rarely brings in guys from outside the organization, but these are two guys that, you know, kind of have been productive in the NFL. Brandon Spikes last season for the Buffalo Bills, Rolando McClain for the Dallas Cowboys. It's possible, especially, you know, all of a sudden, if there's an injury along the way or something like that, Jake Ryan just doesn't pan out. And again, I'm not saying he won't, but if he doesn't, it's been known to happen in the NFL that draft picks don't pan out. It's unfortunate, but it does happen, and the Packers could go that route of signing a free agent post May 12th. So that's kind of what to look forward to here in the very near future in the world of the Green Bay Packers, as well as starting today on Monday, rookie minicamp is over, and starting today, rookies are integrated into the team's off-season workout program, meaning they join the veterans in what they do. You know, the veteran guys have been, you know, they were not taking part at all in the team's rookie minicamp, and you know, except those who have less than, you know, don't have an accrued year of service in the NFL, practice squad guys, things like that. They could take part, but you know that. The Aaron Rodgers and the Clay Matthews and the, you know, Andrew Corlisses of the Packers roster, they were not taking part in rookie minicamp, and now the rookies join them. They, you know, they take part in the strength and conditioning program and taking part in the individual position workouts here in phase two of the team's off-season workout program. That's what's happening now as they jump into the fray, so to speak. And so that's what's happening with the Green Bay Packers here on a Monday. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll take a look at these rookies again on Wednesday, find out what else is new in the world of the Green Bay Packers by then. Railbird Central airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time live, podcasted and viewed on demand later in the day. So you can check us out at 247sports.com and cheeseheadtv.com. But that'll do it, folks. Have a good day. We'll see you on Wednesday. But for now, I leave you with a song called Break, Build, Burn by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack, go.